se ubaca una mano de ver el espacio, ¿no?
Okay, so what I thought we'd look at today is some writings of Rabbi Yitzhak Reiter. Who was Rabbi Yitzhak Reiter? He was one of the Gedolim of Breslov, who died in the Shoah. The Breslov website had a short synopsis of the lives of the great Breslovers of the past, and this is what it says about Rabbi Yitzhak Reiter.
You
it's on the breslov.co.il website. Okay. If you go to that website and you look in there, I can't remember what exactly it's in under the menu section, but if you look through, you'll find the biographies of different Breslov Hasidim from the past. Anyway, so what we learn about Rabbi Yitzhak Reiter is that he was born in 1886, which was 76 years after the passing of Rabbi Nachman, and he grew up with other. He never heard of Breslov Hasidut. Completely, never even heard about it. However, one day he was studying in Rav Sadok's yeshiva in Lublin, famous yeshiva, and he came across a copy of Likutei Moran. He became engrossed in lesson number 64. What's lesson number 64? That we are obviously, oh, 64, right. So what's 64? So I went to look at what 64 was, because that's what got him in. So lesson number 64 that he was engrossed in, the Neda Samach Dalet, talks about the Halal HaPanui, the void that Hashem used to create the world. When Hashem wanted to create the world, there was only Hashem. Ain't not Milvadov, only Him. Right? So how did He create the world? So He created a vacated space called the Halal HaPanui, the vacated space. Right? There needed to be a place that wasn't full of Hashem, Ki'ilu, in order to create all this physical world. Right? Otherwise, it'd all just be one. It would all just be Hashem. So he needed to create. So that creation of the physical, that was the beginning of creation. So that creation of the space where Hashem doesn't exist, so to speak, created the idea of paradox. A place that can't exist. Paradoxically, we can't understand how Hashem can be there but not be there. He met Rav Nachman in that Torah, then goes on to explain that this place is the place of heresy. There's a place of two types of heresy, Rav Nachman explains. This is completely off the topic, but we're in there now. Two types of heresy. One is a heretic that just has questions about God, about Judaism. And we could answer them if we knew the answers. We just don't know the answers. We're just not aware of the answers. Right? And the Gemara says in Chazal, I don't know where, says, know what to answer the heretic. I don't know where that's from. Anyway, somewhere in Chazal says, know what to answer the heretic. Rav Nachman says, that's type one. There is a type one where you can answer the heretic. You just need to know the answer. Right? He's got some, what he thinks are really good questions. And if you're smart enough, you can answer him. And Zohar, he said, but there's another type of heretic where you cannot answer him. Because his questions come from the vacated space. They come from this place that's just twisted. It's like, it's this paradox. He says, and that's what Chazal say, that anyone who goes there never comes back. You can't get out of it. You're in a hole. Once you're in that hole, you're lost. Into the questions of the heretic, which have come from a root. They're rooted in the vacated space. They're rooted in a paradox that can't be answered. No, it's because that their question is rooted in a paradox that can't be answered in this world. In the world to come, it can be answered.
What caused them to dwell in the error?
They're heretics. They wanted to find a way of disproving God, so they came up with a way of doing it. But their questions are based on this, rooted in, they don't know it. And it's not obvious from what they're saying, but you should know the root is in this vacated space, in this concept of a place that where God exists that doesn't exist. Right? So because of that paradox which can't be answered in this world, it's the heresy that can't be answered in this world. And the only way a person can deal with that is through pure emunah. You just have to believe. Right? Hashem created a world where he doesn't exist but exists at the same time. It's a paradox. I don't understand it. I can't explain it to you. No one can. And if you try and go there, if you try, you're going to fall in and never get out. Ramdasan says. So you can't even go there. You can't delve into that. That's called delving into philosophies and heresies. And anyone who goes there, they don't come out. Right? That's, he brings over their acher. That's one of the reasons that we were learning. Right? The acher fell into that trap as well and became a heretic. Because some things, they just can't, they're just not answerable. You just have to take it on emunah. Anyway, that's completely irrelevant to what we're learning today. But that Torah, I guess Rav Yitzhak Breiter. Sorry? Hook up. Right, a hook. Hook is something it is stamped. It's all part of the same idea. Things that. So, Rav Yitzhak Breiter opened up Likutei Moran. I don't know whether he just opened it up and came across that Torah, or he probably read the first 63 and then found that one. Whatever, you know, whichever it was, when he got to that, he was kind of bored, right? He was like, right? And yeah, and so what happened? He hid the book away so that he could find it the next day and learn from it again, and then it disappeared. Right, you know that he lost again, and then, right, that's why Hashem builds up our ratzon, right? He gives it you and then takes it away. So it then disappeared, right? And so then after that, he strove to find, to learn more about Breath of Torah. So a few weeks later, he found the book Parapat L'Chokhmah. What's Parapat L'Chokhmah? It's one of the, probably the most famous, one of the principal commentaries on Likutei Moran. It's written by the Cherner Rav. And after he read that, he got in contact with Breslov Hasidim in Russia. Then he made his first trip to Uman. And then he began spreading Breslov teachings throughout Poland. So that by the beginning of the Second World War, there were several thousand Breslov Hasidim in Poland due to him. Some other things. Unfortunately, as he was recognized as one of the Gedolim in the Warsaw Ghetto, he was targeted by the Nazis. The Nazis took out as soon as they could all the Gedolim, and he was put in amongst them. Taken to one of their death camps, and that was when he left the world. So Yitzhak Breiter wrote a few things that are with us. So what we're going to learn is one of the things we're going to learn from Yitzhak Breiter. So this paper is called Sheirit Yitzhak. It's a collection of writings of Rav Yitzhak Breiter. Rav Yitzhak Breiter was born 76 years after Rav Nathan died.
You know what I'm talking about? The Rav in a different place. He's still in the rest of the
Rings a bell vaguely, but
maybe it's in the show notes, not how it's coming out for 13 chapters. Yeah, I thought that was
okay. So So Nachal was right though, because the Nachal was right, because the piece that we're learning is called Chalukei Nachal. This is Chalukei Nachal, but he wasn't in the time of Rabbi Nachman.
He wasn't?
No. He's born 76 years after Rabbi Nachman died.
Rabbi Nachman alive?
No, not at that point.
Maybe
he was just Hasidim. Yeah, maybe he exchanged that with Hasidim. Yeah. Right, and through that, he made contact Yafet. He made contact with them from Poland, and then he spread it to Poland. Yafet. So this is Chalukei Nachal. So Chalukei Nachal is one of the things he wrote. Chalukei Nachal, the other one that many people would have heard of, is the Seder Hayom, right? The daily Seder of a Breslava. You get up at Chatzot, you learn this, you learn that, right? So that's the other thing that, I don't know how famous it is, but the other thing that quoted in his name. He wrote this Seder Hayom for what it means to be a Hasidei Breslov. It's very Chazak. Hashem, we should merit to even read it, to learn to fulfill it. Anyway, so what's the Chalukei Nachal?
Are you able to translate
it? Yeah, there you can. It's in. It's in. I've seen it in. The Seder Hayom. The Seder Hayom has been translated. It's in one of the introductory books on Breslov from the Breslov Research Institute. One of Rav Kramer's books. I saw it in there. I can't remember which one. Tom, anyway, it's in there somewhere. But the rest of it, I don't think has necessarily made it into translation yet. This piece called Chalukei Nachal is seven principles of Emunah. Seven fundamental principles of Emunah, which Rav Yitzhak Breiter wrote down, which he learned out from Rav Nachman, from all the stuff. And he put it in and condensed it into seven principles of things that you need to know. This is the principles of Emunah. I came across this because Moshe had it in a little kuntras. They put it in like a little Tikkun Klali book. They made it in a little Tikkun Klali book, and he got it given out to him.
Rabbi wrote about this in his book.
No, it's different. This is different. So Rav Arash has three principles of Emunah, which are to know that Hashem exists, to know everything is good, and to know that it's all for a purpose. Right, for this, we're going to see a seven. We're going to see. You can see how they fit in together. So anyway, so he had it in a little contrast. So it was really good. And he shared with me the first one or two of these principles. I thought, oh, that's cool. I want to get one of those. Anyway, so I went to the bookshop and asked him, do you have this little contrast? And he said, no, sorry. But I know what you mean, Chalukei Nachal. It's in this book. So the book is just a collection of all those of his other things that he wrote as well. I haven't yet got to the rest of it. At some point. But these are really good. Had what? From
the Chalukei
Nachal. From
the
No, just jumps in straight into number one.
Well.
Oh, there's a Hakdamah as well?
I think it's
oh, okay. Yofi, Tom, so what does it say? So what are Rabbi Yitzhak Breiter's principles of Emunah? So let's see how far we get. So the first one. Yesod ha-yesodot, the principle of all principles. The Ikar ha-Ikarim. And the fundamental of all fundamentals. Ma shezachinu lish'ov mimimei hanachal, that which we managed to draw down, we managed to learn from mimei hanachal, the waters of the spring, meaning from Rabbi Nachman. Leida v'lohodea, to know and to that is known to you. Ki kol ma she'over al adam, that everything that comes to a person, happens to a person. Bein bruchaniyot, bein begashmiyot, whether spiritually or begashmiyot, physically, materially. B'meizid u'b'shogeg, whether it's deliberately or b'shogeg, but accidentally. B'ones u'b'ratzon, b'ones means by force, right, without a choice. B'ratzon, by choice. Hakol b'gezeira tayotzehu. Everything is a gezeira of Hashem Yivarach. Everything is a decree of Hashem. Everything that happens to you, whether it appears to be accidental, or whether it appears to happen on purpose, whether it appears to come from a third person or not, whether it's a spiritual thing that happens to you or a material thing that happens to you, everything is a decree of Hashem. Okay? So far, shouldn't be such a chiddush. We're not falling off our chairs to know that. Everything from Hashem.
There's nothing else, no other option.
Only has to be from Hashem.
No wills.
No random smashing together of atoms creating stuff.
The part that we were struggling with, maybe at the time.
Yeah.
No free will.
We start to really question the book. Yeah, exactly.
Ah, so what's free will?
This whole thing, but we're hard to explain. Not Shabbat, he said. There's free will adapted to the fact. It's not during the free will. It's the doubt that you're going to know. Still know Hashem after you did what you did. Or after you think you did what you did. After he did what he did for you, what you think you did. So that's the real, that's the spirit, the knowledge.
Well, so what, also, up till this point, Rav Yitzhak Breiter hasn't actually gone against free will. Because what he says that everything that happens to you, everything that happens to you is external. Everything that happens to you, that comes to you, is all from Hashem. My free will is what I think about it. What I desire, what I'm going to, what my desire is to do about it, what I, is it good for me, is it bad for me, am I happy about it, am I not happy about it, that's my free will. Everything else is not me. It's Hashem. Even my free will is very limited, right? But on a pshat level, a person can also walk with the fact that with everything that happens to him, everything that happens to him includes what's happening internally. My emotions, my thoughts, my ideas, they're all given to me, right? They're all from Hashem too. If I now have, classic obviously is my Yetzirah. My Yetzirah jumps in and starts giving me wild ideas and wild imaginations about real nonsense, right? Yofi, it's not me. I didn't create that. That's not me, that's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is an angel from Hashem. An angel from Hashem comes in and gives me those thoughts. It's not me, I didn't create them by myself. I didn't sit there in the middle of davening while I was trying to say atachonem la danda, and then suddenly I decided from my own free will, oh no, I think I'm going to give myself a test now by thinking about shiot, right? No, that test that popped into my brain, bing, that came from somewhere. Where did that come from? Came from Hashem. It came from Hashem. Hashem popped it into my mind. Hashem puts ideas into my mind. In Yiddish,
he made you put only things in your mind when you have to wet it. So when you wet it clean, you have to wet it.
Yep.
Then Hashem gives it to me.
And the same thing too. When I have a desire in my heart for something, Hashem says, very nice. The way a person wants to go, they lead him. Right? The Gemara says. So that's what you really want. Bing, here you go. That's where you go. And the same thing in reality, not just in our mind. If a person wants to see something, Hashem gives him that sight. And if a person really doesn't want to see something, Hashem doesn't give him that sight. You can try it for yourself. And I know from my own personal experience. If I'm having a research, Hashem, I'm walking down the street, I don't want to see any nonsense. Hashem, please don't let me see any nonsense. Mamash, there's only guys on the street today. Amazing, like, there's only guys on the street. However, if I'm having a bad day and I'm looking at everything that moves, then believe it or not, today is the day that they forgot to give out clothing vouchers, right? And, right? Whatever I'm is what Hashem's going to put in. It's going to put into the picture. It's the way a person wants to go. So true. The reason why I'm getting those thoughts in my head is because I've not yet got a pure holy soul. For sure. It's still as a result of where I'm holding. But the fact that I have those thoughts and those ideas, I was about to say that in Yiddish, the word idea, I don't know any Yiddish, but someone taught me this, is Einfeld, apparently. Anyone speak Yiddish to confirm or deny that? Anyway, is it Einfeld? What does Einfeld mean? Einfeld. Apparently, from what I was told, you can correct me, is it means Einfeld, it fell in. It fell in. An idea is something that fell in. It's not from me. It fell in. It was put into my head. It just fell in. It was an idea. I didn't create the idea. Right? I didn't create. What do I have to create with? I've got several chemicals swimming around my body and smashing into each other. If you want to tell me, like a secular scientist, that these chemicals that are swimming around my brain came up with an idea, you've got to be more crazy than anything to think that inanimate objects can come up with ideas, because they can't. Only Hashem creates ideas, imagination, but they're from Hashem. A scientist can't create anything.
No, this is a scientist's argument. And then the rabbi says, okay, go make your own chemicals.
No, even with the chemicals, even if you give to a scientist all the chemicals he wants,
yeah,
and he can zap it with as much radiation that apparently was existing at the time as well, he's not going to get it to grow legs and hands and fly off. You cannot do that. You cannot turn chemicals, no matter what you do to them, shake them up in a test tube as much as you like, are going to create life. It doesn't work. Inanimate doesn't create animate. It doesn't
really
work. It doesn't work.
About the system, yeah? You say your heart will say yes and your eyes will see.
Nachon.
So it means it's in your heart.
Nachon,
so
it means it's in there, right? Because so that's why I'm holding. That's the way he created me. When he created me at a certain level. He didn't create me as a tzaddik. Why? Because if he created me as a tzaddik, there wouldn't be any point being here. Right? Well, that got created flawed with a job to do. Right? And our job is to do that. So we have that position. Our job is then to work on that until we, B'ezrat Hashem, get a little bit better and better. But everything is coming from Hashem, which is a great answer to know that. Because often we can get down and depressed on ourselves. Why? I'm no good, I'm bad, I'm this. And really, we're actually depressed because I've got a terrible Yetzer Hara. And one of the key things to learn, to work on, is to separate myself from the Yetzer Hara. Right? It's part of the bigger picture. I'm way off the subject now, but hey, who cares? Right? Part of the big picture of life is Birur, right? Eight Tov the Ra. Everything got mixed up. Before the tree of the Garden of Eden, there was evil in the world. It was called the snake. The snake existed. He was in the garden. He was evil. But what was the difference? The difference was he was an external, separate piece of evil. You could see him coming. He walked, actually. He didn't sit up. He walked. But you could see him coming. Right? He was external. What was the problem with the tree? Ate Tovara. Well, that's because I'll say the problem was it mixed it all up. Tov v'ra became mixed. And that's our job, is to separate. Our job is to separate the good from the bad. We do that all day long. It's a natural part of who we are. It's intrinsic. The fact that we breathe, the most basic thing in life, is separating good from bad. So why did Hashem put in oxygen amongst nitrogen, which is lethal? Right? Imagine you can't breathe nitrogen and die. Right? You're not allowed to, right? But he puts it in there, and what does it? We have to breathe, we have to take it all in and expel the bad stuff, the CO2. Why do we have to expel CO2? Why can't we just breathe in what we need? No, we have to take in the mixture, take in what we want from it, and expel the nonsense. We do exactly the same with food. We take in the mixture, take what we need from it, and expel the nonsense. And so too with the world, right? It's all a template for the world. The world too, we take in everything, and there's a lot of nonsense out there. We have to take the good and expel the nonsense. Right? Yofi, I don't even know where we got to from that. But let's continue with Rav Yitzhak Reiter. So Rav Yitzhak Reiter says, everything that comes to a person is from Hashem. All from Hashem. Our job, Rav Arad says, is just to be happy about it. Right? To be happy about it. And if we know it's from Hashem, then we can. If we think it's us, that's where we go shop, then we have a problem, because now I've got a Yetzer Hara, and I think it's me. I think I'm a bad person. That's a very long, not only dog teeth his tail, it's one way down. It's a one way escalator downwards to think that I'm a bad person, I'm bad, look at me, I'm terrible.
But sometimes when he's in line, let's say 2 weeks ago before Shabbat, after the commentary, it was around 7 o'clock, I feel very bad. I feel cold in my body. My wife, in our house, there was a doctor who came and checked me, that woman was in a very dangerous situation. I said, you have to go to the hospital. I said, no, I'm not going to the hospital. It was Shabbat. I don't want Shabbat.
Okay.
I said, okay, I'll give you some medicine. So he called me, my wife. At this moment, from 1 second, another second, my body gets hot. Very hot. So I ran after them, and I thought, okay, I can go to the hospital. So in this moment, I lost my consciousness. For example, like maybe for 2 seconds, I wake up in the floor, so they put me in the hospital. Now we're working the time between Mikra finish to Shabbat start. I'm not with my Mikra, my Arisha. So, but I feel very terrible. I cannot stand, sit, because my blood pressure was very down. So when I was thinking to myself, why am I trying to put me now in this situation? I don't know to work. So I lost, maybe I lost my mikra, my aviv. By now you can make up the next, but I cannot do two in the same.
Mm-hmm.
This moment, I remember Rabbi Nachman. Uh-huh. Halakha is very important in this moment, because sometimes you know what I do now. You get to ask him, what is the halakha? What can I do? So I remember once I was reading the story about Rabbi Nachman, he was in danger, he was in the ship. There was no time to pray all this morning. So he said, do only the first three in the next three. And I remember this. I said, okay, I make my mitra in sitting. I have not the power to stand.
Uh-huh.
Now I know the time is close to over.
Uh-huh.
Make my mikra in sitting, on the first three pachot in the room. The first time I tried to make all my amida, but then the doctor called me, I have to break my amida. So then I start again, I said, okay, make only the first three in the left. But I feel very terrible. Because I said, why should I be in the wrong situation? I feel evil, you're not good enough, and this and that.
So you managed to get past the first step. The first hurdle is knowing that it wasn't me. I'm not blaming myself. First step, without where you got to is, it's my fault, I should have taken better care of myself, I could have davened earlier, and I blame myself. So, Baruch Hashem, you got the next step is, it's not me, it's from Hashem. When you fall over unconscious, it's easier to say it's from Hashem, right? And not to blame yourself. But then the question is, everything Hashem done is for the good. I don't know why, yet. That's my test. My test is to still be happy with it. So no, it's His world. Hashem, this is your world, it's not mine. You know what you're doing. You don't want me to daven. It's your world, Hashem. Must be good. What can I say? I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge here.
I think it's actually amazing.
I didn't lose the last one, so I'm not even trying.
I'm not
going to die
at all. I'm not
going to
even try. I don't care what
Nathan
says right now. Tomorrow I'll die.
But
very inspirational, because the entire time you didn't lose the last one, so one and two.
At least I did in the morning, twice,
sharp,
three.
Yeah.
was like a secret room for 7 hours overnight. And then they say, oh, okay, you have a wife, you can go home. It was Shabbat.
Yeah.
There was a Shabbat, you cannot work. So they have no place to stay. Well, they did the picture, they were going to stay for men, people who were with my wife or something. But then in this moment, in the 7 hours and in the night, I was sitting in the chair and they did the thing. And I said, why am I now in the hospital for 7 hours on Shabbat? And this is the reason why I have to put me now in this place. I saw many amazing things. I saw Jews, I saw Arabs. Okay, I mean, I'm not like it cannot look like a Jew, but it looks like a Jew. I was looking at the Jews in the face. I said, it looks like a sheep. Maybe a nice person. The Arabs, when they saw the Arabs, they come, they have something, they like it. 100%. I saw the face like it. When the Jew came, he looked like the sheep. Yeah, maybe,
but the differentiating between people is part of our job. To see the difference between a Jew and someone who's not a Jew, in our day and age, it sounds politically incorrect, that's for shalom, to say such a terrible word to Mishnah Shiva. Right? Because it's nonsense, it's a lie. It's a lie of the secular world that everyone's the same and everything's equal and everyone's. Right? The secular world take it so far that they say people are just monkeys, right? Everything's the same, we actually just came from monkeys. Right? They take it to that extent. Our job is to say no. Our job is to see difference, to make those identify what's right and what's wrong, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
But the time was something, I know you but Hashem, sometimes he puts you in the next corner, in the left corner, and you won't see what you do.
Yeah.
Let's say on Shabbat day, it was 12:30 to throw something eating in the thing. He said, oh, what are you doing now? We have 8 hours. The doctor said, I can go. My wife asked me, how do you feel? I feel better. Let's go, we go home. So this was my biggest mistake once in my life. So I walk home. The way it's usually when I walk, I could have maybe need 1 hour. I start to walk, and there was like a little wind, and it was not so hot. And I feel, okay, it's good, it's better. And I make always a break. Then, from one second, I feel terrible. My body feels so terrible. I have no power, but sometimes I walk in the desert. Yeah. So I'm meeting the way I cannot walk. And then there came a park, and I said, we may have to make a break. I make crazy things. I take off all my stuff. My body gets so hot. I take off my shoes. I take only my shirt and my slippers. I lie on the floor. In the grass and with a finger for 1 hour, and then the arms bite me, the flies can. I feel terrible, I don't know what to do. I have to walk now. What you can do? It's almost 7 hours, shut up the food. What do you do now? I feel terrible. My wife should say, come, we take a taxi. Taxi, we shut up. He will see me. Okay, I can hide my sister, my patient, or my wife. Okay, you see you did the fashion. Yeah? This is what you do. And I pray and I said, please, I know I make a big mistake to go out and out when you walk home. I like feel like in the desert. The sun was so strong and then my body was so hot. I said, maybe I lost my conscience again. I said, please help me, Hashem. I will not show my wife, I will not take a taxi to break the Shabbat. So I walk. Then after it was going, yeah, but it was very hard, very hard. Okay. Of course, I feel like before was a seminary from Tinkerman there, and of course, the next person they go then, yeah, because that was really, really bad.
I ruin, I think, I don't know what.
And I think my husband put me in the corner to choose now what they can do. My wife shouldn't take a taxi. I cannot take a taxi.
I think you might not know what you did, but when you get upstairs and you see what you did, a huge tikkun, not only for you, but for probably a lot of other people as well.
I was was close to transfer. It was very close because I think
Hashem told you, Hashem put into your head that it was good to walk. That's what you're saying about these ideas. Right? You came out of the hospital and you, I made the wrong, I shouldn't have done it. It was the worst decision. It was the worst decision for me to make. It wasn't your decision. Hashem put into your head, you know what? You can walk. You can walk. It wasn't you. It wasn't you. Hashem said, for whatever reason, today Rabbi Reuven is going to get a huge, humongous test. And he had to take you out of the hospital and stick you on the way with that sun beating down.
But you were allowed to break the Shabbos because you were in danger.
You didn't put yourself in danger. Hashem put you in. You made the exact correct decision that you had that you knew at the time. That was the right decision. It wasn't the wrong decision. It was the best decision. Why? Because at the time, that was the decision. You're not stupid, you're not dumb. At the time, if you thought, let's walk, it's okay. So that was the right thing, 100%. Hashem made you think that that was the right thing.
Sometimes you have the chance to change,
you couldn't have. If we put you back there now, if we put you back in that exact same situation with the same information, the same factors, and put you outside the hospital, you'd walk again. You would, because at the time it was the right thing. The right thing, nachon, and that's all that matters. That's it. The gamma.
I feel I did everything wrong. Can we might understand that when we don't feel well?
Halacha, he's not talking about halacha, he's talking about what happened. Halacha, you're right. You're not allowed to break Shabbat for not feeling well. If it's because of nefesh, you can do whatever you like. But if you're not feeling well, you have to know what the difference is. That's all. If you're not feeling well, you can't break Shabbat for not feeling well. If it's because of nefesh, sure. If it was, yes, sir.
Were you in Pikua Nefesh at that time? He was fine, but you don't need to take a taxi. He didn't break Shabbos. Because he was
only a person in that situation knows. I don't know how it felt, you don't know how it felt.
He explained this thing, he said, before the world start, Hashem finished everything.
Yeah.
He finished everything, created the last page of the world, that's it. And then when they finish, okay, we
finished. Guys, yeah.
Okay, we finished with
this.
We finished the world, we're gonna start. Everything is finished. And says that it's compared like a movie. Everyone thinks, and the actor, they think that the thing they can control that. But they cannot control the person who writes the publishes the story, he knows how to control it. And it's sometimes when we are in that kind of situation in the movie, we say, oh, this. You say, they cannot control that. The only one who can control that is the person who write the and you need to do it that. It's not your situation, it's the situation of the person.
Yes, sir.
And everything worked out perfectly in your back.
Okay. So let's continue. Let's continue. Ki im hadam einenu ra'ui, because if a person is not fitting, v'lo zakha adayin, and he's not yet merited, l'hitkarev ala kadusha, to get close to kadusha, vel ha-mitzvah la'sotata, or to a certain mitzvah to do it, the person's not yet fitting, or has not yet merited it. I'm going to see what that means in a minute. To get close to Kedusha, or to a certain mitzvah that he wants to do. Mabalbalim oto min ha-shamayim. They confuse him from Shemayim about it. They confuse him so that he cannot get close to Kedusha, so that he cannot stay in the hospital. They confuse him from Shemayim. to make him think that he can walk home. They confuse him, right? Not to do the mitzvah. Ki, we'll come on to it, he'll explain a bit more. Ki nitgalgelet b'toch mashvotav, because there is nitgalgelet rolled into b'toch mashvotav, inside his thoughts. Into your thoughts is where they put the ideas, the confusions. Machshavam avalbelet kazot, they put into your thoughts a confusing thought like this. Which does not let the person do the thing in Kedusha, do the holy thing. Even though he wants to do it, even though a person wants to do it, even though I have free will, I want to do a mitzvah. Rav Yitzhak Breit has explained to us that you're not allowed to do the mitzvah. Shemayim doesn't let you do the mitzvah until Shemayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, says you're ready. When he says you're ready, you can do it. And until then, you can jump up and down all you like, but it's not going to help. And it doesn't matter what the mitzvah is. It doesn't matter what the Kedusha is. I want to be holy. I want to be a tzaddik. That's why I'm sitting here. That's why I'm learning Torah. That's why we're all here, right? We want to guard our eyes. We want to be holy. We want to learn Torah. Plenty of mitzvahs we want to do. And yet, I'm trying, I'm falling. I don't seem to be getting anywhere. What's the danger? It must be, that's just who I am. It must be because I'm evil. It must be because I've done bad things in my life and Hashem doesn't want me. It must be because my neshama is not at the level that I can learn Torah, really. Or I'm not holy enough to guard my eyes. That's it. No. None of that is true. You are holy enough to guard your eyes. You do have a neshama that is capable of learning the whole Torah. You have everything you need to fulfill every aspect of Torah and Kedusha that exists. Everything you can have. There's nothing that's not available to you. The reason why I'm not there yet is only one thing. Hashem hasn't let me. Well, two things. If I have Ratzon. If I don't want it, that's the other reason why it's not happening. But even if I want it, the reason it's not yet happening is because Hashem has said it's not yet ready. It's not the time. The whole there, and all of this, all of this reason is not because Hashem wants to take revenge on you, chas v'shalom. It's not because Hashem is being mean to you, and he's not letting you get close to Torah, to Kedusha, because he's being mean or cruel, or chas v'shalom, he's trying to punish you. No. Ki im barachamav yibarach, it's only from his mercy. It's purely mercy. Hamarachem al kol ma'asav, Hashem is merciful on all of his creations. Yodea ve'ed dayan emet, he's a dayan emet, he's a true judge. Right? The reason why Hashem, he doesn't go into it further here, but the reason why Hashem's not yet letting us get there is because Hashem knows best what's best for us. If I let you get there now, it's going to ruin you. It's going to ruin you. It's not good. Even though I might think I know better, truth is I don't know better than the creator of the world. I might think I do. Hashem, look, trust me. It would be really useful. I know what you're thinking, but it's... Give me Shmirat and I Gabor right now, and I'll be a holy tzaddik, and it will be great, right? I can learn better. Let me learn 5 hours straight in a clip. Let me get up for Chatzot. What's wrong with that? It's what you want. I think I know better. Truth is, I don't. He knows better. He can see more than me. Baruch Hashem. He knows what's going to be. He knows that if he allows me to get up for Chatzot every night, that I'm going to become the most arrogant Breslover in my neighborhood. I get up for Chatzot and you don't. Right? It's going to just destroy me. I'm going to be terrible. I'm going to be Mr. Arrogant. I'm going to think I know it all. Right? It's going to kill me. I don't have the vessels yet. I don't have the vessels yet to hold such a holy gift. To really appreciate what it means. together, but Chatzot and Chachi really mourn the Beit HaMikdash. Oy, oy, oy. It's huge, it's huge. How many people in Am Yisrael can do that? Not many. It's a huge gift. And it's not something that I can just take on for free. I'm going to as if it's nothing. No, I have to work up to it. I have to build up to it. I have to have a vessel that can hold that holy Kedusha. To experience what the Kedusha is in that. And to not ruin it, not ruin me. So it's for that reason, so for those reasons. However, so what's the answer? The answer is I don't yet have the vessels. Right, which is why we do is what to do it. Which is why we do prayer. Prayer creates the vessels. Every word of prayer makes a bigger vessel. Currently my vessel looks like this. If I want my vessel to grow to something a bit bigger, then it can hold a bit more Kedusha. And if it wants to get bigger, right? Currently this is not enough to hold Daf Yomi. This is enough to hold stuff, learning a little bit of Gemara 45 minutes a day from sitting in a class. That's how much my vessel can hold. I don't have a Daf Yomi vessel yet. If I want to get a Daf Yomi vessel, I need to work on prayer. Hashem, I really want to do Daf Yomi. Really, really want to do it. And then I can build a vessel. And Hashem say, fine. Now you're ready. Go for it. You're off. You succeed. And the same with anything else that I want. Anything else. Same true with the material world as well. Material world is just the same as physical world. Hashem, I really need good parnasa. I really want a new car. I want a new house. I want a wife. I want whatever it is, kids. I don't have the vessels yet, maybe. To appreciate it, to deal with it, to not let it ruin me, to not ruin it, to not waste it. Right? The person who doesn't have the vessels, I had a client, I'm a lawyer. Someone's got to do a job. I had a client who sold a painting. He spent some time in Hong Kong a few years back, and he was into art. He bought a three piece of art, he paid $5,000 for it. Piece of Chinese art. He sold it in Sotheby's. When did he sell it? 4 years ago, maybe? Sold it in Sotheby's 4 years ago for billionaire there, £2.7 million. About $4 million. It was the highest selling piece of Chinese art that Sotheby's ever sold. In a painting. I don't know if they sold other things, but in a painting. Anyway, Yoffi, that money lasted with him approximately 6 months. Within 6 months, it had gone. And not only had it gone, he was now facing bankruptcy.
And he's still alive.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. He's a Jew. Nice guy. He's a good friend of mine. Very close, right? Also a client, also a friend. But he didn't have the vessels to hold that sort of money. And then it slipped through his fingers. It happened to slip through his fingers because, Tov, Yetzer Hara got him, right? The Yetzer Hara told him that, you know what? The tax is on $2.7 billion? The tax on that is $500,000-$600,000. It's a lot of tax to pay in one hit. Tov, you just got to slip right. You did what it is. Right? Didn't want to lose a third of the money on tax. At least it was going to be about that. So what did he do? So I told him, I've got this money. I'll just invest a little bit here and there. Do a few stocks and shares on the currency market. And I'll make up the amount of money that I need to pay the tax. And what does Hashem do? The way a person wants to go, they lead him. And this always happens. He gambled a little bit. He made packet. Within the first 3 days, he made 40 grand. 40,000 pounds. The next few days later, he's made 120, 150. This is it. This is easy. Easy money. He'd struggled all his life until then. Right, Mamash, he'd struggled making it, right? He found an easy way. Hashem let him. 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later, he's now in debt to the brokerage. Million and a half. Everything just went. Faster, gone. Disappeared. The overall thing is he didn't have a vessel to hold it. It wasn't that he just went, wasted. after that, being there, we're talking about going to the toilet, and you don't know who he is. He went into what they call recovery. He had a crash. Crashed, he hated himself. I just destroyed my life. He was in touch with Hashem. We spoke a lot about Hashem. He knew that Hashem had given him a gift, and he thought he just wasted it, squandered it all, and now he's bankrupt. Killed him, he didn't kill himself. He went into recovery. That's like this like program where you, for alcoholics and all, right? Amash couldn't live with himself. Baruch Hashem, he came out the other side. Taught him recovery is all about learning about Hashem. Interestingly, we had a lot of conversations about it. It's very, very much based on teachings of Rav Nachman.
Yeah, what they find is that he's still alive.
Yeah.
Because there's a high suicide rate with that.
Nachman. But why? He blamed himself. And we saw the principle. He didn't have a vessel for it. So it was actually a gift. So all of those of us who are saying, Hashem, just let me win the lottery. Just one or 2 million, and then I'll sit back, I'll learn Torah every day, and everything will be good. I won't have to have the stress and worry about Panasa, and everything will be good. It sounds good, but if it really was good, Hashem would have given it to us. It's not good for us. It's not helpful. It's not going to take us to the place where we think it's going to take us. Because Hashem knows better. Hashem knows that whether it's in Gashmiut or in Ruchniut, that I'm not the reason he hasn't given it to me is it's not right. It's not going to help me right now. Yeah, but I still want it. Yofi, it's good that you want it. It's good to want a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with wanting a lot of money, right? Rebbe was hugely rich. Right, Rav Nachman says that there are places in Torah that you can only get to once you have a lot of money. So having money itself is actually a very, you often have that desire, continue with it, have the desire to learn all of Shas and to learn all of Poskim and to get out five katzot. That's all good. That desire builds the vessel that I'll be able to use it. But in order to use it properly, I need to build a vessel for it.
Most important thing is you appreciate what you have. Sometimes you think you lack something. You say, I have only 5,000 shekels a month, I want 7,000. So sometimes the shekels is playing in the other way. You take it from the 5,000, 3,000, 2,000, then you have not only now 3,000. Then you portray that you have before 5,000.
Right.
The first thing you have to learn
And when we want these things that we can't yet have, right? Well, the things in Ruchniot, or the things in Gashmiut that we want that we can't have. So how do we get them? So we get them through Ratzon, through desire, through building a vessel. Well, what does that mean in practice? Practice, that means, Taplit means Hisbodadut. In Hisbodadut, I pray for them. How does that help? How does that help build the vessel? Because it clarifies for me, for a start, on a very simple level, it clarifies for me whether I actually need it. What I'm actually going to do with it. Whether it's going to be good for me. It's very hard to do Hisbodadut along the lines of Hashem, give me a Ferrari. Hashem, give me a Ferrari. Hashem, give me a Ferrari. If I actually do, I can't go past that. Right, that's the limit, because that's the limit of the truth. I just want a Ferrari. Why? All right, I don't really need a Ferrari. A car, give me a car, Hashem. I don't need a Ferrari. A car. It doesn't even have to be you. Tell you the truth, it doesn't have to be you. It just needs to get me from A to B. It has to work. Why do I need a car? Well, I need it to take the kids to GAN, I need it for this. I now clarify why I actually need the car. I built a vessel for it. And it's no longer, I want it because it's an imagination, I'm going to look good, I'm going to drive down the street, it's going to be shiny. The shtuyot. I've got rid of the nonsense. I actually say what I actually need. Now, if it's true that I actually need a car, and I need it for this, and it's going to be helpful because it's going to save me time, it's going to be good. And I've clarified that I'm not going to get arrogant Hashem, because I won't buy a brand new one and I won't buy a shiny red one. I'm just going to buy a very simple Pashut one. So it's not going to damage me. And I've clarified all that through my Ibbodadut. Yofi, Hashem is then going to be much more able to give it to me. Because now it's not going to damage me, and now I've clarified exactly what I need it. And it came through building a vessel that can take it. And similarly with money, if I want Parnassah, what am I going to do with it? If I'm praying for 20,000 shekels a month, do I really need that? Am I actually going to do anything with it? In reality, if I had 20,000 shekels a month, at least 5,000 of it, at least, is going to get blown on shtuyot and nonsense. I'm going to go out and eat in restaurants, food that's not good for me. I'm going to buy flashy clothes that are going to give me gava. If I actually go into it, the same even true on the gashmi, on the ruchniyat level. Those things that I'm not yet achieving, why haven't I achieved them yet? Because I haven't actually clarified for myself why I actually want them. Do I really want them? Right? Well, exactly what Rabbi Ozer Bergman was saying. Do I really want to learn? Yeah, I want to learn Hashem, I want to learn all day. No, I don't. I want to look like I learn all day. I want to be able to tell my friends I learn all day. I want to be able to tell my mum I learned all day. I want to be able to tell myself that I learned all day to make myself feel better, that I'm not wasting my life. Right? But I actually have the connect. I don't actually really want to learn for Lishma, for Hashem's sake, because I love the learning. Not really. That's why I'm not learning all day. It's true. So actually, I haven't clarified my ratson. Rav Nachman says nothing stands in the way of ratson. When I clarify my real ratson, I'll see that exactly where I am now is exactly what I want. It's exactly where I'm holding. My whole life looks exactly how it does, because that's exactly what I really want. If I clarify my true intention, my true ratson, it looks exactly like what I have. And I can't complain to no one about nothing. Because the things that I lack are the things that I don't actually want. And I might tell the world that I want them, and I might even tell myself I want them. But the truth is, according to the laws of spirituality, nothing stands in the way of ratson. If I had a real ratson, that's what I would have got, that's what Hashem would give me. Kilu, on the Pshat level, that's what I would go out and get. Right? If I really wanted a coffee now, I'm going to go and get it. On a Pshat level. If I really wanted to get married now, I'd go out and take a wife. I'd do it today, I'd do it this afternoon. There's no physical thing that's holding me back today from getting married. You need to find someone. I'll make a few calls, find some. Tommy, today we could do it. It could be done, these things, right? What's the reason I'm not getting married this afternoon? Well, I don't want him. If he wants to get married this afternoon, I want him. Right? And the same is everything. My ratson is not yet there. When it's really there, everything's going to be open. Nothing's going to stand in my way. Right? We know that's true. If I want to get up for Hatzot tonight, I've never got up for Hatzot in my life, say. Right? But I'm going to do it tonight. Can I do it? For sure, if I have the ratzon. And if somebody pays me enough money to give me that ratzon. So now I've got a ratzon to do it, so I'm going to do it. Because I've got a ratzon. It's not to do the thing, but it's a ratzon to get the money. But whatever, it's a ratzon. Whatever ratzon I have, right? If I pay Yosef, I know how much it will take. 20 million to get married this afternoon. I know, 100 million, whatever. I give, right? To get married this afternoon, maybe, fine. I don't know, whatever. But whatever it is, right? Everyone has, right? It's just a question of ratzon. Just a question of ratzon. Oh, and that's what his body does. His body does is me'ala above everything for many reasons. But one of the reasons is, helps us create our ratzon for holy good things. To sit there with ourselves, what is my ratzon? The starting point for his bodhidut, right? Rav Lazer Brody always says, right? Not always says, but often says, that a person who's trying to get somewhere in life, you can't get anywhere if you don't know where you are now. Because you don't know which direction to go. If I have no clue where I am now, how do I, if I'm in Haifa and I want to go to Jerusalem, but I don't know I'm in Haifa, I can never get to Jerusalem, so I don't know which direction to go to. I might start off, you know, I need to know where I am now. What's that mean? Same is true in exactly what we're talking about. If I want to get somewhere in life, ruchniyat, gashmiyat, whatever, I need to know where I'm holding now. What is my real truth? not where I think I'm holding. Yeah, I'm where I really am holding. And that's hard work. That's even harder work than actually getting to work, right? To clarify where I actually am, Rav Arias Moshe Dalon, when he talks about his bodhidut, he had the sheet of his bodhidut. Yeah, talks a lot about it, but one of the sheets he talks about is the person needs to clarify where they're holding right now, right? When I sit there in front of Hashem, what's going on with me right now? Hashem, where am I right now? Right now, what am I feeling? To be in touch with my feelings. Right now, I'm angry. Right now, I'm sad. Right now, I'm confused. Right now, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm lost. I need to clarify where I really am in order to then move somewhere. Because otherwise, I can't move. I'm lying. I'm coming from the wrong place. I have a friend in London who is about my age, 40-ish. Not married yet. More than that. Ish. Yeah. Baruch Hashem. He's not married. And he's 40, 41. And we have these conversations though. He doesn't go on that many dates. He kind of gave up a long time ago, really looking. He goes here and there. He met someone. He didn't meet someone. This one's interesting to him. That one's not interesting. Occasionally, so we catch up. I try and give him advice, chizuk. About 6 months ago, we had a conversation, and Hashem put a light bulb on for me. And I told this friend, I said, you know what? You know where you're going wrong? You don't want to get married. You don't want to get married, and you're not admitting it. I told him, as soon as you admit to yourself that you don't want to get married, then things can move. Now you're just pretending you do. And because you're pretending you do, you have to find excuses and reasons for everyone why they're not right. This one's too big, this one's too small, this one has got a different hashkafa on life, this one's not so religious, this one is too religious. Everyone's got a different problem. But the real reason is you don't want to get married. And until you accept that fact, it's going to continue, because now the problem is always with them. It's not the right one. If someone gives me the right girl, I'll be married today. I don't mind, I really want to get married. I'm just looking for the right one. And it's nonsense. It's a lie. It's a sheke. It's not true. There never can be the right one, because that's not the problem. I'm not dealing with the problem. I'm dealing with a phantom problem that's a red herring. Why? Because I didn't clarify in myself what's really the truth. The truth in me is I don't want to get married. I don't want to. Why? So I need to work. Think about that. Why? Good, valid reasons. In his case, it's because his parents got divorced, and he blames his mum for the divorce, that she was a real not nice person to the father, and now he hates women. He thinks all women are going to be like his mum, and why am I going to put myself through hell just like she put my father through hell? So I'm scared of women, I don't like women, whatever you want to call it. But that's where he's coming from, right? That's his true reality. Until he accepts that as his true reality, he can never move from there. He can never deal with that and cure that. Once I accept it, I can make it go away. I can deal with it. I can acknowledge it. Half the problem is just acknowledging, right? And then the thing disappears. It's like a big Yates Sahara that hides in the corner. As long as he's hiding in the corner in the dark, he's always going to stay there. He's never going to move, and he's always going to scare me. And I can never do anything about him. Once I shine the light on him and say, there you are, and describe exactly my Yates Sahara to the nth degree, he's got nowhere left to hide. He's gone, he's disappeared. It was all an imagination. It's an imagination. If I say, I'm a grown man of 40, 41 years old, and I say, I admit to myself out loud, in his bodhidut, the reason I'm not getting married is because I'm scared of women. That's a bit dark. Right, that's good. Yuck! What nonsense! But until I admit it and said it out loud to myself, it had this huge power, because it was something that was hidden within me in the darkness that I can't go near. It was in a box that was closed that said, don't open here. And I never opened the box, and therefore I could never go near it. And therefore it had power over me my whole life. What's my job? My job is to lift the lid and let all those demons, they're not really demons, it's a horror, out, is to admit the truth. This is who I am. This is where I'm holding. I really believe that if I got married, a woman would do to me what my mother did to my father. Is that really true? Okay, maybe it's not true. I can now start challenging it. Actually, maybe that's not really true. Once it's out in the open, I can make it disappear. Hashem can give it. I can pray on it. Hashem, help me. Help me take away. I believe this. I'm scared of it. It's stopping me. And I can pray in truth. If I'm not asking Hashem for the right thing, Hashem, send me the right wife. If I'm praying, Hashem, send me the right wife, Hashem is fulfilling that every day. She's the right one. This is the right one. This is the right one. They're all right. It's me that was wrong. But any of them were perfect. I just asked the wrong question. I was asking for the wrong thing. Send me the one that's right for me. Yeah, here you go. And he's doing it time and time again, but I'm missing the wrong question. The question is, Hashem, maybe we not be scared to get married. Or whatever the true question is. Then he can answer that question. Father, let's do it. Then you get that question. Yuffie. Now we're moving. Now we're really moving. Sorry? Thompson can ask me, we're not good. And then you get said one, and that's it. You're right. You're right. I don't know. How do I know? If you stand under the chuppah, yeah. If you just stand under the chuppah. No. There's no before. It's in your knot. Because if you decide to get married and you're under the chuppah, she was the right one. It doesn't matter if you had 5 dates or 200 dates. Or 1 date or no dates. If you stood under the chuppah, she is the right one. It's a de facto confirmation. I'm not the one confirming it by having 10 dates or 20 dates. I'm giving it the green light. Who said I'm the one that gives it the green light? Hashem gives it the green light when I stand under the chuppah. That's the stamp of approval. It's not my stamp of approval.
Some people it's one time, others 3 times, others 4 times.
For what purpose?
For what? For each person to them. Why they were to raise them, or to help them build together.
No.
Help them raise.
The way a person wants to go, they lead him.
Huh?
The way a person wants to go, they lead him. Meaning, if I tell myself I need 200 dates, Hashem says, fine, have 200 dates. If I tell myself, let's have 1 date, Hashem, we have 1 date. We have guys in our class that got married very quickly. They're very happy. And not even in our class, we have 2,000 years of our history where they didn't have 20 dates either. And all those were very happy. The only people in the world today who are not happy are the ones who had too many dates. Right? No one... It's the date does not make the marriage, right? Anyone who, Bezat Hashem, is coming to the Gond and Peace class is going to learn that the dates do not make the marriage.
Thank you. When you're 200 days, you should have the first
atonement.
Because sometimes you don't know if you really want something that we are.
What Rabbi Yosef is saying is that a person needs to have Yishuv Hadat, that this is the right for him. Like if he's on date.
No, if
it's 100% clear,
it's
then it's not the right person. There's no question. I give up. I stop seeing her immediately. It's not the right person. But if it's simply a question, I'm not sure. The truth is, I'm not sure. I don't know. How can I know? I don't know everything about them. And even if I did know everything about them, I don't even know it's a lie, because I can't. I don't even know anything about me. Right? I don't even know myself, never mind knowing another person. And knowing another person from 1 date, 2 dates, 20 dates, 200 days. It's never gonna be. I'm never gonna get that it's called what do you mean sometimes? How many times have you been married?
No.
Exactly,
days.
It's not
when you go out, you get out there when I'm all time. Yeah.
If it's clear that it's not happening, you're set. But we're not talking about those times. We're talking about saying, well, maybe this, maybe this, maybe. Yeah, fair. And it's all the other babies which stop a person.
But you're confused sometimes. They put you in the mind that probably you are the one that will describe they don't want to get married, and the other ones are fine, and you are not. And they put you in the demand that you don't want to get married, and what you want. And sometimes you are also,
So why? Because, like Rabbi Rubin said, we get in our mind what's in our heart, right? Meaning, if I'm not yet convinced that I want to get married, for example, then I'm going to have that as my reality.
How could I not be convinced if he's one of the thing that what I do is to a boo and get married and have children.
I still don't want to do it. The proof is why I still don't want to do it. It's because I also know that it's a halakha, it's the law, it's Hashem's will, it's Hashem's desire that I don't look at women. And you know what? I still do. Because I still want to look at women. Even though Hashem told me not to do it. Even though I agree with you 100%. Why? Because it's not yet in here. So even though I agree with it, I agree that Hashem wants me to do it, inside, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. If I was there yet, I would do everything in my power to make it happen. And Hashem says, go for it. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's the whole.
What do you think you like a topic when you think, oh, I can keep my eyes? Yeah? You like, oh, I look at more women, nothing.
Right, and the same thing is true.
But
yeah, right. So yeah. the reason why I haven't got Shemir Atanayim either is because I'm not ready for that yet either. That's a big gift. It's a huge gift. Right? It's the biggest, right? It's the biggest thing in the world. Right? It's more than the whole of Shas to have. Shmirata Brit. Right?
My father told me when I made this question, my father told me something very interesting. He told me, we sometimes want to feel that click that, oh, my soul feels that she is my other part of the soul, and if I don't feel that, she is not. But my father told me that things happen when the person training his soul to be prepared. But sometimes we prepare more the body, the eyes, to be prepared to that, and we cannot feel when the soul feels the other side. And we always say, no, because it's too fat, no, because it's too small, no, it's because it's too short, because you're training your eyes, you're turning to, why do you want to feel the connection with the soul?
Yes, sir.
You're turning your eyes.
Wonderful mm-hmm. advice. The truth is, if you want to know exactly like we said here. What's this the truth is, if we really wanted to see if we connected to the person, we would go on a date with our eyes closed. Go on a date with the eyes closed and just talk and just, do I connect? How does this work? Example is a friend of mine who I managed to shidduch off. How did I shidduch him off? Right? Through Hashem. I gave him the phone number of someone. He said he spoke to the girl, an hour and a half on the phone in the first phone call. And that was it. He was sold. An hour and a half in the first phone. He never even got to see her. But he knew from that, right? Because the eyes didn't get in the way and muddy the picture. She's too short, she's too fat, she's too thin. They connected. We spoke for an hour and a half. We never even knew each other. Like that's the connection we're talking. That's the real stuff. But we have a physicality. It gets in the way. It makes me confused.
This is my wife. We meet the first two times. After the first two times, I try to assume that I do nothing. Defeated. No connection. But this was close the first two times because we have good talk, very deep talks. Yeah? The first time maybe the first two times you well fit with attraction, you know only the outside. So you can be very confused. Yeah? This is my wife, an antichrist. Yeah, we were only going to do that. So, that was the first time when I was with my wife together. First time we had a connection, very, very deep. But I keep asking, the city kept that. When I pray, and the third time, the fourth time, I think all the time, at the fourth time, you say, okay,
right. And the truth is, we can't really connect. We can't really connect on a soul level until we're married. When we're married, we get joined. Our neshamas become joined. Before we're married, that your neshama, her neshama. There's no, you know, Hashem can give. Hashem can give us an aspect, a taste. We can hope, but we're actually only going to connect afterwards. Only afterwards are we going to connect, really.
Reality.
All right.
You realize right away that the teaching of that is like, I don't understand.
I think you have to erase everything that you saw in the past. Now in this place, you have your stone in the back. Your background. And you gotta deal with girls that never in your life you thought you were meeting. And we just got here and you used to introduce me fat girls, girls that they were really fat. No, they were really ugly because my manner of thinking that I have to be a woman. So I was what I saw was models in the
top looking. Okay. Should we do it more, or do you wanna stop now? Should we take a break? No,
yeah.
Huh?
I'm more confused than I used to be before.
That makes
a second. Last date I was on, I was being attacked
with being breathless. Okay, so it's not an ideal. It's not ideal.
For some reason, after attacking me the first day for being breathless, she wanted to go again.
The truth is, those that attack, it's because there's something there. She could turn out to be the biggest breathless, but why? Why is she fighting it? Why is she fighting it? Because there's a reason, there's something inside that I need to, because I feel that.
Yeah, but then where does it go?
Because otherwise, what's the question? If you were a Belzer Hossid, no one's going to argue that, you can't believe you're a Belzer. Those Belzers, they stubborn and they learn Torah and they, right? It's only when there's something. Right, there's something powerful there that
she's
trying to get to grips
with. That was sort of my goal that I made after it.
Right.
I figured that it was for me more of a test. Sometimes dates are not necessarily for you to be married to the person, but to see how much you're devoted to your new dara. How much will you hold to? Because it's a beautiful girl that wants to go out with you. She wants to go out with you again, but she just doesn't like that one little thing, which is your entire life for me, in my case.
It's hard enough to do two of the rest of the world. If you have two of your wife, for Hashem, to avoid that would be great. Just to give you a final story, and then we'll close.
Last time my wife sat over my dead body, she never goes to kibbutz.
Miraculously was for 10 years.
Okay. The Gemara teaches that the heart of a woman, the mind of a woman, is not nothing. It can be.
No, you can never say no.
So
Don't say something because it's so. I don't want to be passive. Now I'm blessed.
A guy called Avrami Cohen. Tom, I've forgotten his first name now. Tom, we'll call him Avrami because I've forgotten his first name. Anyway, he used to be in the Dov Divan unit of he's an amazing guy and he's an amazing story, he's got an amazing life. He used to be in the Dov Divan unit of the Israeli army. Dov Divan unit are those that go undercover into the Arab territories and take out people that have no right being in this world. That's their job. They dress up as Arabs, they know Arabic, and they scope out, and they make people disappear. That's their job. They're like the hardest of the hard, none of this gets reported in Haaretz or Eretz Yisrael. Right, this just happens. Anyway, it's called the Dov Divan unit, right? And he was a commander in the Dov Divan unit. Hazak individual. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, he had a very interesting life story. He made teshuva. He's now a Breslover. He was very Hazak when he was about teshuva. He's an amazing story. I could fill you all day with stories, but one of the stories that Kashrut is what we're talking about is when he wanted to get married, right? He was a bachor in yeshiva, started learning in yeshiva, and everyone was trying to set him on dates. He was a very good looking guy. After he left the army, he did a stint as a model, male model. This was back in the 80s, the early 80s, before in the age of the supermodel. And Hashem took him, right? He was spotted in the gym. Someone said to him in the gym in Israel, he was working out in the gym. Someone said to him, "You ever thought of modeling?" And he's like, "Modeling, why?" So anyway, 3 weeks later, he was on the plane to the US, and he was doing TV commercials for Coca-Cola. Parachuted into the top flight. He then did the catwalks in across Europe. Right, with all the supermodels, he was like up there. Then made teshuva after he said he got to the lowest place possible in the world. He had all the money in the world, right? So he was being paid ridiculous amounts of money for an afternoon's catwalk, like $50,000 to walk 10 minutes down, up and down. $50,000, right? For nothing. Women, drugs, the lot. Like in the worst place in the world, and you realize that something's wrong here. Something is mamash wrong here. So anyway, he's a smart guy, very smart guy. He learned, he went to find God. He learned, he said he went through the bookshop. He went through the spirituality section of the bookshop. Went everything from everywhere. Didn't find it. Eventually he got talking to a guru of some culture. And it was explaining to him, he's looking for this, and he didn't find it. And the guy said, didn't know he was Jewish. The guy said to him, "What you're looking for, you're probably going to find in what's called Jewish Kabbalah. They have what you're looking for. They have understanding and depth and reason and spirituality. It's all in there. Go look in there." And that was the first time it ever crossed his mind to maybe look at, oh, Jewish stuff. So anyway, he went and bought some books initially on Kabbalah, because that was his their thing. So he's now from years with beautiful children. Anyway, so how do you get married? So he's in yeshiva, and everyone's trying to set him up. He's a wonderful guy, right? My master, wonderful guy. Now he gives lectures for Arachim and for other people. Takes trips. He works with Lev Azavarian, with Rav Erez, taking trips to Uman. That's where I met him. So anyway. So people there, he's like, "No, I'm not interested. Not interested, not interested." Anyway, he's in the Beit Midrash one evening, and all the guys, one of the guys is getting married. Get one in the bathroom, and I say, "Come, we're going to where it is to get married to the chuppah." He's like, "No, I'm staying. I'm learning." I say, "Ah, come! It's a chuppah. Come. You'll meet someone." So he said, "No, I'm not that." He said, "Come, you'll meet someone. He said, I'm not coming. He said, "Hashem knows where to find me. This is where I am. Hashem knows exactly where to find me. He can send me a woman. He's a president of the Hasid. He knows what he says. Anywhere, any which way, he can send me one. I'm staying here." They all, "See you later, you're lost." They all went to the wedding. He's pretty much the only guy left in the Beit Midrash. Everyone, it was like a wedding for one of the bachurim, so everybody's gone. He was like the only guy left in there. He's there by himself studying that evening. The phone rings on the wall of the Beit Midrash. He ignores it. Rings again. Ignores it. Goes and picks it up. "Yes. Yes. No, he's not here. No. Who are you?" "Yes." It was the sister of one of the bachurim, wanting to get hold of her brother. Anyway, they spoke 15, 20 minutes. He said he knew at that point that this woman must be from Hashem, direct to him on this way there. He basically, I checked her out in that phone call, decided that she was the one that I was going to get married to on that call. On that call, because it was Min Hashemah. It was like, so Hashem's going to send me. I told the guys, Hashem's going to send me right here, and that's it. The phone rings, the woman, yeah, checks it. Yeah, she fitted, basically, but she was, you know, the sister of one of the Bokharim, she's part of the Kila Vakila, she's fitted, right age, right everything. "Yeah, fine, okay, let's meet." Fine, he basically arranged it, meets, that was it, done. Married. May we all be so successful in our prayers. Okay, we are learning from Rav Arish's book, Gan HaShalom. We're in the first chapter on page 22 in the Hebrew version. Rav Arish is at the beginning of the book explaining why it is the person needs to get married. In doing so, he brings us two stories. Yesterday we read the first story. The story was, in Rav Arish's words, quite exaggerated, but it was still necessary in order to teach us. We can all learn from it. It doesn't have to represent exactly who we are, but for sure we can find ourselves in that story. So yesterday we learned the story about the holy parish that thought he was doing ever so well in his Avodat Hashem by being in his quiet corner in the Beit HaMidrash and not hurting anyone and just focusing on his Avodat Hashem that way. We learned that he missed the boat. He missed the boat entirely because he didn't fulfill the Torah and he didn't work on his Midot because he never got married. If he had got married, he would have realized how far away he was, but because he didn't, he never realized how much work there was still left to do. That was the story of the holy parish. Rav Arish now brings us story number two. Story number two is called, in Hebrew it's called Haga'on Ha'adir Amud HaChesed Shlita. Right, which is a bit of a mouthful, but what it was that Rav Arish is teaching us, anyone who is a holy Ga'on needs to have a really big title. And no more so than our individual here, who's called Haga'on. Haga'on Ha'adir, the amazing Ga'on. The amazing, how do you try, Ga'on is a genius. The amazing genius. Amud HaChesed, the pillar of Chesed, Shlita. So let's see what Rav Arish tells us about this individual. Va'ata naviat siporo shel Haga'on Ha'adir Amud HaChesed Shlita. Now, says Rav Arish, I'm going to bring you the story of I'm going to keep it in Hebrew because it's a bit of a mouthful in English. It's a mouthful in Hebrew, but it's even more in English. Of the Ga'on Ha'adir Amud HaChesed Shlita. It sounds better in Hebrew. Ha'ga'on Ha'adir Amud HaChesed Shlita Hechal Et Chayav Ki Yered Kishroni. He began his life as a talented child. Mechonan B'midot Tovot U'Bahavana Chayfa. He had good midot, very nice good midot, and a very sharp understanding. Kishigadal Hitpasem B'Iraki Ilui. When he grew up, he was famous in his town, in his city, as a genius. V'huzachal Hitchaten im Isha Mimishbacha Miyuchaset. He merited to marry a woman from a very respectable family. Hagon Adia Mud Chesed Shlita. Nitzelek Kishronotav Alzad Hatov Yoteh. He used his talents in the very best way. Huasak Berlibud Torah Bahatmada. He busied himself in Torah continuously. Afnatan Mizmano Lekeruv Rochokim. Right, he gave his time to bring to do kiruv. The lemasiyat shiurei Torah lekahal, and to give over shiurim to the community. Gam b'tchum hachesed lo taman hagaon haadir amud hachesed shlita et yado b'tzalacha. Even in the area of chesed, he wasn't stingy. He was actually very 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 giving. Who needs selet ma'amado v'kisharav al menat l'hakim gemach gadol. He used his presence and his connections to create a very large gemach. Shemimenu nehenu aniyei ro, that from it benefited the poor people of this city. Va'afra bim sheba'u mimakomot rechokim. And even lots of people came from far places to benefit from the chesed that he managed to achieve. Klalo shel davar, agon adia amud chesed shiva. Hafach liot ish tibur achuv va'ahud v'chol shechvot ha'ar. The Gaon managed to become a very known, well-respected, loved member of the community from all the chesed he did, from all the Torah teaching he did. Yofi, everything was wonderful. Af gedolei hador nihalu ito yechasei yedidut v'harachah. Even the gedolei hador treated him with friendship and valued him. V'kulam kibdu oto ma'od. Everyone respected him very much. V'ratzu et kivrato, and they wanted to be close to him. Yofi. What do you think sounds good? Let's see. Chisaron echad, there was one lacking. Katan, one small fly in the ointment. What was that? Hayala Gaon ha'adir amud chesed shlita, that the Gaon had. B'chol hatzlachato hamarashima. In all the success that we listed, what was that? Ishto, his wife. His wife was the one small problem that the Gaon had. He lo ha'iricha oto v'lo kibdato. She didn't value him and she didn't respect him. Ulehefech, on the contrary, he rak hitlonana kol hazman v'aitam v'azeh oto rabot. She only complained all the time and rebuked him continuously. B'chol pa'an every time that he would come home at night, and that late at night, he would find his wife with a fallen face and in bitterness. And many times he would face shouts and attacks. Hagon adir amud chesed shlita hishtadel hitalem v'anukuda haloko kach ni'imo hazor shebachayam. So what did the Gaon do? The Gaon tried to hide himself away from this small issue in his life that wasn't going well. And he limited the times that he came home. He put her complaints, her many complaints of his wife, he put them down to the fact that she had bad midot, and the fact that she didn't have yirat shamayim. The reason why she complained all the time, she's got bad midot, she's not got yirat shamayim. She had yirat shamayim, she wouldn't complain so much. You know, she should know his big son Hashem. Why is she complaining? She doesn't support her husband, who's a Talmid Chacham. Hatzadik uba'al chesed agadol, who's a tzadik, and he's a great giver of chesed. Varak matzika lo b'dwishut shonot mishonot, and only attacks him with requests for all these different things. Hu ishtadel shayala tamid keseb b'cheshbon ha'bank. He always tried that they had money in the bank. In order that she wouldn't be able to claim that he wasn't looking after her. But all the contact he had with her and with the home was nothing more than a bother, a burden. Who are deeply or bachutz? He preferred to be outside the house. Va'af b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, dag l'chach she'yagunu lo shirei Torah. He made sure that they would find him shirei Torah to give. Chaval al hazman chashav, it would be a shame, he thought, b'mkom liyot namak v'bayit, efshel lenatzel et hazman lo'od Torah v'gimlo chasadim. Much better than being stuck at home. I may as well use the time well to give Torah lessons and to do kindnesses. Kederach ha'olam, gam yomo ha'aroch ha'acharon shel ha'gaon ha'adir amud ha'chesed shlita higir. As is the way of the world, the final days of the Gaon on this world came to pass. Kolo shel ha'karoz amodia al levayat shel tzadikim. The car that goes round announcing the funerals announced his funeral as one of the tzaddikim of the city. Shehu modia b'kol bochim, right? It was announced with cries. Nitchu eralim et hamatzukim. Nishba aron hakadosh. All the phrases that they say about the tzaddikim. We lost today the great holy person, or Aaron HaKodesh has been destroyed. Halavayato shel ha'gaon ha'adir, sar ha'Torah v'ha'chesed, harav ha'gaon ha'adir, amud ha'chesed, shita, teitzei b'sha'a, b'rabba, l'ha'a, b'nuchot. Right, what they call out. U'sheirit Yisrael yivchu et ha'soifa asher sarach Hashem. And everyone is going to cry on the destruction, the burning that Hashem created from the loss of such a great holy Gaon. Hamon libruetah Gaon ha'adir amudat chesed shlita, v'darkor ha'achrona. They gathered, crowds gathered, many people, Hamonim, gathered to for his levaya. Hespedim nirgashim nis'u al yidei rabanei ha'ir. Hespedim, eulogies were given by the Rabbanot and of the city. Hagaon Adia Mushita Shachab Merkaz Hitmale Bagaava Lekazot Levaya Lokole Hazoket. Right? Where even from his place in the ground, the holy Gaon was full of pride. That he had such a funeral, right? That not everyone would merit to have funeral like he was just enduring then. Oy vavoy, such a levaya. Keshia gaon adir muda chesed shlita l'shamayim. But when he got to Shamayim, miyad chatfu oto malachim veichishu oto lebeit din. They immediately grabbed him, threw him into the beit din. Hagaon adir היה מופתע ביחסם האחרי אליו. He was the Gaon was very surprised at the way they were treating him in such a cruel way. Wait a minute, I'm a Gaon. What's going on? Who היה בטוח שכל הכבוד שקיבל בחייו בכל התארים שכונה בהם. Right, he thought that he was certain that all the respect that he received during his life and all the wonderful names that they called him in his lifetime, Harav HaGaon, Amod HaChesed, right, the Holy Gaon, the Big Gaon, the Pillar of Chesed, etc., etc. Mashakfim et Hametziot Shalom. Reflected his reality. Lachen lo hevin madu abashamayim lo noagin bo et oto kavod. So he's very surprised that in Shamayim he thought that that was really a true reflection of who he was. They called him Harav HaGaon. They called him Amod HaChesed. He was sure that is exactly who he was. Why aren't they treating me like that? In Shamayim he thought. Mishpato shel HaGaon Hitzchil. They began his sentencing. Chavrei Beit Hadin Avu Mahem Od Al Kol HaMitzvot Shasa. The members of the Beit Din went very quickly through all the mitzvot that he did. Lo Nira Shehem Hitrashmu Bimalato. It didn't seem that they were very interested in it. When they came to the subject of his marriage, Hishtana kol to'ar p'neihem b'tzura mafkida. Suddenly, the face of the judges changed dramatically. Av Beit Din nira zoem, the head of the Beit Din appeared to be angry. Kashitzchil limnot et hapa'amim harabot. When he began to list, to count the times, the many times she'ishto shel HaGaon bachta, the many times that his wife would cry, et pa'amim harabot shenifka'a, the many times that she was hurt, et hayamim hashechorim she'avru aleha, the black days that passed over her, the tukusha she'rekanot hefsed, with feelings of emptiness and loss. Et Aksava Hakasha Shela. Her disappointment, despair, Shebala lo hit Yaches Lama Matsim Shaasta Bishul Machalim Arivim. The fact that her despair that her husband paid no attention, made no effort to see the effort that she put in making him all different food, but Nikiona by in cleaning the house, Sidor HaSalon, in fixing up the salon, right? Husband was not interested, didn't show any interest in all that work that she did.
She was a widow before he died.
Yafet, she was a widow before he died. But he didn't need to. He didn't need to say anything nice about her cooking because he was out busy doing chesed. He was out busy teaching Torah. And therefore, he didn't need to be nice to his wife.
Simply doing
the
first place
with the Christmas tree. Right. Exactly. Klalo shel dabar, the sum of it, Hagon hadir amud chesed, gila shehu ta'ab achayah. It was revealed he made a big mistake. He made a big mistake. Lesikum, to conclude, Pana Elav Av Beit Din, the Av Beit Din, head of the Beit Din, turned to him, Bishmo Paprati, Shur Mikalem, Lechalutim, Mikhodo, that he turned to him and called him in his personal name, that he would order you, was definitely not with Kavod. Benzi, he called him. Benzi. Amnam lamadita harbeh Torah, even though you learn lots of Torah, ba'asita harbeh chasadim, and you did lots of chesed, aval lo kiyamta et shluchotecha, you didn't fulfill your shlichut, the reason you were there, ba'olam, v'lo ba'ta li tikuncha, you didn't fulfill the reason that you came into the world, or your tikun. Haita mukaz batzmacha, bahatzlacha shalcha, bekavod shalcha. You were focused on your own success, on your own kavod. Kol limud Torah, Toratcha halach lesitracha. All of your Torah wasn't a zuchut for you. Wasn't a benefit. Doesn't go down as a merit, as a mitzvah. It all went to the sitracha. It all went to the other side. All the Torah learning went to the other side. Now, Tan Koach Atzum leklipot gave a lot of power and strength to the negative forces of the world, right? Because you didn't learn from a holy place; you learned for your own kavod. Kol haChesed she'asita lo yachol lachaper lacha al avonotecha. All the Chesed you did is not able to atone for your sins, right? You did lots of Chesed. That normally would be very good, that would stand in your favor. Baruch Hashem, all the chesed you did. But your chesed cannot even atone for your sins. Ki ikka chesed hu babayit. Because the main chesed is at home. Ukushe'en chesed babayit. And if there's no chesed at home, kol ha-chesed she'asin b'chutz hu haser. All the chesed that a person tries to do outside the home is lacking. Lachen, therefore, kodem l'kol, before everything. The first thing a person needs to do before anything else is to give chesed to his wife. Shehi basar mivasarecha. She is flesh of his flesh. Aval bazeh shelo asita ken. But the fact that you didn't do this, gilita she'ein lacha midat chesed, it actually reveals that you don't have the midat of chesed. If you can't give chesed to the primary person you need to get chesed, then it reveals the fact that actually you're not giving chesed at all. U'mashasita chesed im anashim zarim. And the fact that you gave apparently chesed to all these other different people, zeh mipnei she'nehneta makavod shelahem. You actually did it because you benefited, you enjoyed the kavod that you got from it. It wasn't from a midah of chesed, of true chesed. It was from a midah of enjoying the kavod that you received. Hikshavta la'aniyim va'anashim kashay yom balev mevin u'basavlanot. You listened to poor people with an understanding heart and with patience. Ki haya lecha na'im lerot et tzmacha k'tzadik. Because it was good for you. It was nice for you to see yourself like a tzaddik. Rachum ba'al ozen kashevet. A merciful tzaddik with a person who had a listening ear. Right? Looks nice. I feel good about myself. Aval keshtecha nista ledaber itcha. But when your wife tried to speak to you, kegashta shehi mekashkeshet mevalbezet et zmancha hayakar. You simply felt that she was wasting your time, your holy, precious time. Masata drashot al shalom bayit. Natata itzot, you gave very nice drashot on shalom bayit. Natata itzot, you gave very nice advice. Hidrachta chatanim, you gave instructions to people getting married. Avalo kiyamta ba'atzmacha klum, but yourself, you didn't fulfill any of it. Vagama itzot shenatata hayu itzot. Even the advice you gave was advice which was which was lacking, missing the point. Batim neherasu ekev ah, which was really bad actually. Batim neherasu ekev adrecha harashecha. Houses were destroyed, chas v'shalom, on account of the bad advice that you gave. Right? He gave really bad advice because he couldn't fulfill it himself. He wasn't giving advice from a place of knowing, from a place of truth. He's giving advice from a place of self, kavod, whatever. That's for shalom. No one should stumble on anything that I say. Kol zeh balacha mipnei shelo evanta. She'ika mivchan ha'ika avodah shelcha hi lichyot b'shalom bayit mishtecha. Right? So they told him that all of this came about because you didn't understand that the main test and the main service of Hashem is to live a life of shalom bayit with your wife. Chashavta shezeh bitul Torah. You thought that doing that would be bitul Torah. Shezeh bizbuzman, that it was a waste of time. Hichachasta ke'el netel u'ke'el mitzvat l'chol ha-mitzvot harabot ha-niflaot shebein ish lishto. Right? You related to all the mitzvahs between you and your wife as a waste of time, like nothing. Mitzvot sheyesh bahen et ha-chesed ha-gadol biyoteh. These mitzvahs which have within them the greatest chesed that can be, ha-amiti biyoteh va-amok biyoteh, the most truthful and the most deep. Those are the mitzvahs that you completely missed. When you are out there doing all the other mitzvahs, you miss the ikkah. The main ikkah is to do chesed to your wife. If he gets told, like the previous parush was told, if you would have got married, you would have realized how far away you were from fulfilling the Torah. Because the main purpose of Torah is to bring a person to emunah. Im ken lama lamadta Torah v'lo hemata b'Hashem. If so, why did you learn Torah if you didn't even believe in Hashem? You learned lots of Torah, but you didn't truly have emunah. Lama lo amanta shekashe ishtacha medaberet itcha zeh Hashem medaberet itcha. Why didn't you realize, why didn't you believe that when your wife was speaking to you, it was really Hashem that was speaking to you? Kashe ishtacha mevakeshet shetisha b'bayit, when your wife asked you to stay home, zeh Hashem shewatzeh shetisha b'bayit. It was Hashem requesting that you stay at home. Tachlita Torah v'al mitzvot hila v'yotcha l'anava. The main purpose of the Torah is to bring a person to anava, to humility. Ha'im zo anava hitalem me'rigishoteha shel ishtacha u'la'asen mi'abayit al afa v'al atchamata. How can it be that you can receive humility when you're hiding from the feelings of your wife and you're leaving the house when she gets upset? When she got angry, when she got upset, you would leave, right? How can that be humility to leave the house at such a time? It can be data chesed, hibalev. The main part of the midah of chesed is in the heart. Sheiten et libo, that you give your heart etat chesonot hazulat v'yirachem al habriyot. You give your heart to the lackings which are in the other person, and you have mercy on the creatures, on the creation. Im ken keitzad yitachen shelo richamta al ishtacha. Therefore, how can it be that you didn't have any mercy on your wife? She was suffering for sure. She was not happy, and you didn't have any mercy on her. Lo natata me'etzmacha mizmancha. You didn't give her from yourself, from your time, mitzushumat libcha, from your attention. La'adam ha'karov elecha biyoteh, to the person who is closest to you the most. She'meitiv lecha kol hazman, to the one who benefits you all the time. Ha'obe yoteh mikol hazarim she'atita imhem chesed. Much more than all those other people that you're giving chesed to, that you got nothing from, whereas this woman is doing everything she can for you, and you're not giving her anything back. Shalona natnu la lecha klum, that these people, the other people, don't give you anything. Chutz mikavod, apart from kavod. Ha'im achan mehem ayam uchan lisha'er, er b'leilot, letapel b'tinok shalcha. Would any of them be prepared to stay awake in the night to look after your child, your baby? No. Your wife does. Haya mukhan lisbol alafit mehatsa'a shel ha-hereyon. Would any of them be prepared to suffer even a thousandth of the pain of pregnancy? Shel ha-leida, of childbirth, etc. V'kach himshech ha-beit din le'arot le'bnei le'bensi. And so the head of the Beit Din showed Bensi Shehu Ta'ab Gadol that he'd really made a mistake.
Kol rak mifnei shelo yiches la'avoda al shalom bayit hashivut rishona. And all of this was because he did not realize that his avodah on shalom bayit was the most important thing. B'shnei mashalim elu. In these two examples, says Rav Arash, siparu al shtei dumoyot shel anashim. We spoke about two types of a person. Shenechashavim ve'enei ha'olam le'meyuchadim v'ma'alatam. That seem in the eyes of the world to be in the height, to be at the top. Sherag yechidim zochim la'giya le'ma'alatam. That only a few people can ever hope to be in such a place, right? Like the first guy who was a holy parish that spent all his life in Torah and prayer by himself, didn't get involved in the world, holy tzaddik. And number two, giving shiurei, he was one of the head rabbanim, giving Torah shiurim all the time, had a big ilgun chesed, doing chesed with everyone all the time. Very few people achieve such heights. And the world looks upon these people as the top. The hem kiblu siyun tov ba'arbakol. They would get the top marks from anyone if you would ask about these people. Aval b'kevan shelo zachu letziyun ha'ikari. But since they did not manage to merit the main thing, the main mark, shehu shalom bayit, which is shalom bayit, al kein b'shamayim haitam alatam nemucha yoteh. In Shemayim, their level was actually very low. Michel and Hashim b'shutim od. In fact, much lower than very simple people. Shelo ra'im b'hem shum ma'alam yuchedet. That you wouldn't see in a simple person any great thing. Aval zochim lechiyot b'shalom b'toch b'tam. But these people, a simple person who manages to achieve shalom bayit is much, much higher than achieving all that success in this world. Whether the success is in ruchniut, and for sure any success in gashmiut. But even in ruchniut, to be the highest person in the world, it doesn't help. It doesn't help. In Shemayim, what counts is truth. And what's the truth? Rav Arash tells us the truth is a person has shalom bayit. That's really where it's at. That's really how a person knows. If Hashem is happy with you, how do you know your wife is happy with you? If Hashem is not happy with you, how do you know your wife is not happy with you? That's it. It's very simple. Hashem made a very simple world with very simple rules. Very easy. That's it. Yeah, he gives pasuk. You could go to the rabbi for pasuk. Look, it's not his thing. We have Rav Elgod as the main posek of the yeshiva. So he gives out there. But if you happen to be by the rav and you ask him a halachic question, that he has the answer there. He'll yeah. Clean out of that as far as I'm aware. It's not. Top. We should merit to learn from these holy stories that we should pray. We're going to see, Be'ezrat Hashem, when we get into the advice of shalom bayit, how to achieve what we're talking about here.
My question is just that some people will get blown by the fire, and then when you ask them, well, how practically,
So the rat, as far as I'm aware, the rat is very prepared to give very harif sucked in where it's necessary. It's not embarrassed to say what needs to be said. Thank you.